You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, the government announced the 2026 budget. Predictably focused on saving money and reducing the government deficit, the budget does see some key areas for funding. Health, while receiving a large chunk of funding, still has looming concerns around staffing, operating costs, and whether this increasing funding will make a difference for the struggling sector. The military and tertiary education have also seen critical allocation choices that have caused discussion in the days since, with defence spending being a big winner, and uproar from students following the removal of fees-free and raised fees despite an increase in funding. The budget also saw comments made by Finance Minister Nicola Willis about superannuation, saying that it was time for political parties and the government to consider superannuation's cost on the New Zealand taxpayer, which has signalled some disagreement with NZ First and Labour. Last week's budget has seen an allocation of funding to health, but what does the National Party say to concerns that, while matching inflation, the increase in funding might not make up for the currently underfunded state of the sector?
Gosh, I mean, we've committed to increases in health in the last few budgets. I think certainly when you look at the budget, health was again the winner on the day with, you know, over $1 billion of new money. But I guess the thing to realise too is that throughout that whole process, we're also trying to find efficiencies within the health system. And of course, we've brought back our targets. So not only have we increased funding, but we are also finding efficiencies within the health sector and trying to make transparent the targets and publishing those targets they were aiming for.
And when specifically looking at the issue of understaffing, which has been a heavily emphasised issue in the health sector, how does the National Party expect this budget to help with understaffing?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like, it's not even just related to this budget. I mean, if you look at what we've done across the health sector over the last few years, you know, we've obviously tried to make... We've had a lot of overseas registered doctors in New Zealand that had, you know, had challenges getting their licences, so we tried to streamline that. We've allowed another 100 overseas doctors to come in. We're trying to make it easier for nurses to integrate into the system, and we've also got high levels of nursing and doctor graduates. You know, obviously, we've just announced the new medical school, which will create more GPs. New Zealand, you know, trained GPs at a grassroots level with a target for the rural areas where they do struggle to hold GPs. So it's a completely different format, and that's a graduate degree. So we're also going to, so essentially what that means is anyone with any degree can now apply to be a doctor, which means you're not just going to get, you know, your usual sort of 18, 19-year-old, you know, top 1% students coming through the system. You're going to have 25-year-old, 30, 35-year-old, 40-year-olds that want to retrain, do something different, so you're going to get a much more diverse workforce entering as GPs as well. So we've tried to take quite a holistic you know, approach to health services. In fact, hired more nurses than I think we've done previously. So there's a lot going on in that space, and it's going to take some time to optimise, but certainly I think you know, some really good things happening there. And then obviously the 10-year digital infrastructure strategy, which Minister for Health introduced last year, you know, a long-term program which will optimise some of the efficiencies with software and data, also cyber protection. But yeah, a 10-year strategy, which was, you know, pretty coherent, and will take a while to implement. But as that journey continues, I'm sure we'll find some more of these efficiencies and gap identifiers as well.
Another point of interest in the budget is the seeming lack of attention to the environment, particularly in terms of responding to climate concerns. Is this an intentional gap, or is this an area that the government will look to with changes that aren't in this budget?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're doing some, you know, huge RMA reform, and that's got massive environment implications in it. And we've transferred what was the Ministry of the Environment into MCIRT, or the Ministry of Cities, Environment, regions and transport. And so what we're trying to do there is actually make, rather than have the Environment Ministry sit out as a siloed entity that kind of, you know, sits on the side, we're actually trying to integrate it into all our planning programs, because, you know, you can't have new roads without obviously having an impact on the environment and all city growth and, you know, regional infrastructure, because it's all interrelated. And so we're actually trying to, despite, you know, what the opposition might say, we're actually trying to incorporate good environmental management into that economic conversation, because they are so integrated.
And looking elsewhere, what does the National Party say to concerns over the fact that despite, you know, these cost-cutting measures across the board, including further cuts to the public sector, the government has seen fit to allocate $1.58 billion to defence spending? Why is this an area that the government see as important?
Well, I guess two reasons jump to mind for me. I mean, obviously, one, the first is that we've probably sweated the assets and neglected to really give defence, you know, spending and budgets the, you know, the integrity that they've needed, and, you know, across multiple governments over the last 10, 15 years, in terms of, you know, the accommodation where our defence personnel, you know, work and live and train, but also, you know, the technology. We've let go a lot, and, you know, when we look across the global volatility, if we're going to play a meaningful part, we need to show that, you know, we're investing in our defence force and capabilities as well. And as our Prime Minister articulated, you know, so well a few weeks ago, national security is economic security. And if we don't build not only in terms of our own infrastructure capability, but our integration with, you know, our Pacific neighbours as well, and all those alliances, if we're not co-investing and showing that we're aligned, then how can we, you know, effectively put our money where our mouth is? More than ever, we need to have, you know, strong trade relationships and partnerships, especially across the Asia-Pacific region. We've seen some stronger relationships with the Australian Defence Force, so we can sort of leverage off each other's strengths a lot more. There's some really good work done there. So, yeah, it's pretty comprehensive, and it is a big investment, but our economic security is, much like I said with the economic and environment, our economic security is also tied into our national security.
And this budget has caused uproar amongst students in particular, as in leading up to the announcement of the budget that the government would be cutting fees-free for tertiary students. The removal of fees-free, combined with allowing universities to raise their fees yet again, have led to serious concern despite an increase in funding to universities from the government. Why has the National Party kind of seen this area of tertiary education as somewhere to maybe look to cut costs?
Well, essentially because it wasn't working. You know, we had concerns when Labor brought it in. You know, it was brought in without, you know, clear data or evidence that it would move the needle. And, you know, it's always noisy when someone's got an expectation of something and you take it away. So, you know, obviously, you know, some students would have had an expectation then that, you know, last year would be free, and so that creates a bit of noise. So obviously it was first year free. We saw in our first year of government that there was no change to moving the needle in terms of kids in education. We moved it to the last year as an incentive to try and help students complete their studies, but it didn't change the data in terms of those that were already on track to do it. And so I guess, you know, we've got to look at that the student loan schemes, or tertiary education, is about 80% already subsidised by the government. In fact, it's one of the most subsidised in the OECD. And then on top of that, the gap, if a student needs it, can have an interest-free student loan paid off over the next, you know, sort of 5 to 10 years, depending on the loan. So we didn't think it was really detrimental to doing that. And in fact, we said we're going to now reinvest some of that funds into trade. So we've doubled the ability for Trades Academy, which has been quite a success. And that's, you know, obviously going to be more plumbers, sparkies, you know, people, you know, building houses and getting those qualifications, because that's been a program that has worked reasonably well. So I think every government has to look at those, you know, those levers and see where they can shift the dial.
And finally, superannuation has made headlines following the release of the budget, as Finance Minister Nicola Willis mentioned that it is an area that maybe we should reconsider the sanctity of when looking at the country's financial spending. Importantly, this kind of sets itself into opposition with New Zealand First. Going into this next election with New Zealand First having sworn off working with the Labour government, is this something that we're likely to see come up in conversations between National and NZ First over a potential coalition?
I think we're definitely going to see something. I mean, we'll definitely bring something out to the campaign, you know, around super. I mean, it's the elephant in the room that, you know, we all have to mature and create a pathway out of, because it is unsustainable. You know, in my view, it has been unhelpful with some of that noise from New Zealand First, but we'll be campaigning on our own policy and strategy as we get closer to the election. And then obviously, following the election, we'll have to see where it lands, and hopefully that we can chart a path that that New Zealanders are on board with, and that they can understand and appreciate that the status quo isn't going to work for our children and grandchildren's generation.
That was National MP Ryan Hamilton on the 2026 budget.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.